Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome back to The Review of Death, a Doctor Who podcast, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I'm Matthew Toffolo, this is Billy Garrett-John.
Hello.
This is going out some point in the hazy future. Whoa. We're talking to you from the past.
Speaking of hazy, cheers my babber.
Cheers.
How you doing?
Cheers.
Nice to see you.
We're doing
a big batch of videos, like.
Yeah, because he's in New Zealand now by the time you watch this.
I might actually be.
You will. No. You might just be on the...
Let me consult the Rod manual.
Ah.
As of this recording, yes, I will be, in fact.
Oh, really?
The day this goes out... oh, fuck, no, because it's the day before. Anyway, yes, I would have landed in New Zealand.
Okay.
So I've got to make sure I've got all of my tweets scheduled.
Oh.
So that it all goes out in order. But yeah, we're recording a bunch of stuff in advance, so... for the sort of, from now until whenever.
Yeah.
It's sort of more of a general chat about Doctor Who rather than reacting to news immediately.
Yeah.
And if you want to know our thoughts and feelings on things that are happening in the now, probably better to stay tuned into the Twitter account.
I guess so, yeah.
And the Patreon
unless
as well.
There's anything very
yeah.
significant.
In which
happens.
Case, I will pay out of my right arse for Wi-Fi on the flight and go, and now we've got a 16th Doctor, and it will just be a whole
oh
mess.
God.
But today we're talking about overrated episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Now, this is a subject, Matt, that we have covered before.
Yeah, we did.
7 years ago.
Wow.
And I tell you what I did, Matthew.
What did you do?
Before we arrived here today,
yeah.
I watched that video.
Oh, God. God.
Oh, God. I mean, it was a bit fishy. And
where did we film this? Was it at your
This was
house?
In your room.
Right.
Against the action figure cabinet.
Yeah, still
and,
there.
Still there. So 7 years ago. So series 9 was about to come out.
Wow.
Because there's a point in it where you turn to me and say, spoilers, you know Osgood and the Zygons are going to be... in the new series. Like, oh, yeah, no, I know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're sort of at whatever that point is in history.
Okay.
And what we did in that video is we looked at the 50 years DWM
yeah.
magazine, and we went through the episodes at the top and sort of thought, well, are these overrated? Are they not? Is there anything we can pick out from there? We asked you at home on Twitter what your most overrated episodes in your opinion were, and we also wrote down 5 of our own.
Mm.
So I think what we're going to do first is we're going to go through our list.
Yeah.
Give it a quick run through, just some quick fire comments on either side. Then we're going to look at what we thought of the most overrated episodes from the previous video.
Cool.
And then we're going to look at your submissions.
Nice. That sounds good.
Nice and simple. Let's do one each, shall we?
Shall we explain what we mean by an overrated episode? Because I did see on Twitter that some people weren't really sure what that meant. I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. But
I think our own submissions are going to kind of define what we think of an overrated episode,
I don't know how to describe it other than it's just stories that are generally held in very high opinion by collective fandom that you personally think, oh, it's not that good.
That's the thing. This whole thing is entirely subjective.
Exactly, yeah.
And so we're just going to talk about episodes that we think are overrated, but it's going to be interesting to see if there is any crossover between what you guys have to say and what appears on our list.
Very much so.
I've got 4 and you've got 6.
I've got 6.
So between us, we've got 10.
We've got 10.
So that's all right.
So you struggle to find 5?
I have to be honest.
I just kept going.
I actually did struggle.
Wow, interesting.
I think that's because I've mellowed out a lot in the last
couple
years.
I've mellowed out a lot.
That's true. Yeah. Well, let's go through them.
You're looking very green. This is very green today.
Yeah.
With looking at your face and the plant behind you, you look like you're about to
drop dead in a mine shaft in
that,
South Wales,
or give a blowy to a big typhonian beast. But
right, let's just go into this fucking thing now, right? Okay, before we get any further down the blowy hole. Right, number one for me.
Yeah.
The Stolen Earth and Journey's End.
Yeah, that's
because I've got another new series finale on this
list
as
well.
That
could have been on my list.
Yeah.
I debated it, for sure.
Wilf with the paintball gun.
Yeah, that's good.
Julian Bleacher's Davros.
He's amazing.
The cliffhanger to Stolen Earth.
Fantastic.
And beyond that, there isn't much in there that I'm super, super keen on.
Yeah, I know people really gush over the whole companions piloting the TARDIS thing.
That is lovely, if only to get in the thing that it has to be piloted by X number of Time Lords, which is a sweet idea.
Yeah.
But
Martha Jones looking down the camera, doesn't she? She looks
camera, yeah. I think it deserves a reappraisal, I think, especially because 60th anniversary year, Dr. Donna thing happening.
Of course,
So we'll probably get round to that later this year.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not at the point where I was when I was an angry teenager throwing the DVD out the window or whatever I did.
You did do that.
I did do that. Channeling my inner angry video game nerd there.
Yeah. Oh, God, no. Nobody wants to be the angry video game nerd in 2023.
No. I wonder what happened to him.
He did a movie and it didn't do very well.
Really?
Yeah, I think he spent a lot of money on it and I don't think he recouped the costs.
Oh, shit.
That's why we should never do a film. Or if we do, let's do it on a budget.
Or just let it be good.
Cheap and cheerful, like it used to be.
Yeah. We could do a film. What could we do a film about? This is a whole different...
I mean, I've already pitched us going around and looking at locations around the UK.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm flying to the side of the world now, so...
But difficult. There's how many Doctor Who locations are you going to get over there?
One.
And that's from an advert.
And that's from an advert in the 90s with Tom Baker.
it's fun. It's a nice bookend to that era. Mm. But I guess, I like the Russell T Davies era.
Yeah.
But I think unless you're really, your heart and soul is into it, it might not hit quite the same way.
I think it's only his second worst finale, in my opinion.
Right, let me think. What finales has he got?
It's going to come up later. So should we dive into your first one on your list?
Okay, the first one on my list, we'll stay on new series stories. Blink.
Yeah, I assumed that was going to come up.
Because I do get tired of people saying, oh, it's the best episode of Doctor Who ever. And it's just, there's so many issues. I mean, I think it's fantastic. Mm. We reviewed it last year and we both said
we did gush about it.
Piece of TV. But as an episode of Doctor Who, it's not the best because Doctor Who's not really in it. And I mean, the Weeping Angels are a fantastic creation that have sadly only got worse as time has gone on because they've been used in too many stories. And
Overexposure.
The Mystique's gone. And I think that, surprisingly, the Chibnall story kind of actually
bolstered them again and made them a bit of a threat.
Yeah.
Because you just started getting daft stuff, didn't you? The Angels in Manhattan with the Weeping Angel bloody Statue of Liberty.
And
which doesn't really make any sense.
They're moving in the Series 5 two-parter. I went to Puzzlewood the other week.
Oh, did you? Yeah,
it's
we went.
Really cool.
Ago. It's a fantastic place.
Oh,
it's
man.
Amazing.
I'd encourage anybody within spitting distance of the West Country to go and visit Puzzlewood.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
We went one weekend. Didn't realise we had to pay to get in. We got there.
Yeah.
It was like £8 or something.
And
to
then
get in.
And we were like, what? We're starving. We didn't go to a service station on the way there. And we were like, well, we have to eat food here. Eat before you get there. That's my only advice. Don't
get... Well, they got farm animals there. You could have bludgeoned the chicken over there. And
I didn't have time. We got there like 2 PM. I said, I'm not going to be able to spit
Eat
roast
some moss.
This pig. I'm sorry, to spit roast this pig. Excuse me.
What are you, David Cameron?
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Okay.
So Blink. I think Blink is... Yeah. It's a self-explanatory one, Blink.
Yeah.
Why that is... an overrated story. Very good.
Yeah, very good.
I think this is the thing, you know, we need to stress that just because we're saying it's overrated doesn't necessarily mean we're
Absolutely.
Saying it's shit.
I think everything I've got down here, maybe with the exception of Stolen Earth, Journey's End, and the last one I'll mention, is at least a sort of like 6 or 7 out of 10 in my eyes.
I agree with the exception of... No, it's probably about right. Yeah.
So my second one, you may bludgeon me over this.
Oh my God.
Is The Ark in Space.
Wow, really?
I just think, like, there's the Homo sapiens and the whole of the first part where they're dodging the little droid in the ceiling, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Droid.
Wow, that's being very
you know what
complimentary
I mean?
To it.
The lamp, the IKEA lampshade.
I had to, when you said that, I was like, droid?
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
The security system. You know, I'm sure bubble wrap was pretty interesting at the time.
Yeah.
But for a Doctor Who costume in 2023 eyes, it's not. You know,
really? God, you're gonna hold that against it.
No, it's not just that. I think
it's a slow burn as well.
It is a slow burn. Once you get past part one,
you
just want to get to the end, really. Like parts two and three haven't really got an awful lot going for it.
No, I know what you mean.
I like the dynamic between the crew, but there isn't enough of the crew, and I know that's kind of the point. Because they're all still in stasis and stuff, but there isn't enough of a cast plus the Wirren to really make up, I think, a really full-blooded story.
Right.
And there are great moments, but I think that it's held up in too high esteem in my opinion, especially because that season is really good.
Interesting.
You know, like I really like the Sontaran experiment. It's only 2 episodes long,
which
always has that going for it.
Yeah.
Robot, I think, is underrated.
Yeah,
and we'll probably,
I like Robot.
We'll do an underrated version of this video at some point.
Mm.
Genesis is great.
See, Genesis, I almost put that on my list as overrated.
Yeah.
Because Genesis is superb.
Mm.
But, I don't know, I think... I mean, I sat down and watched all 6 parts... all the way through not long ago and I was fine, but sometimes I find maybe you could have, I mean, we had this discussion last night at home that probably most Doctor Who stories could be 4 parts, you know.
Oh, every Doctor Who story could be 4 parts.
Yeah,
that's why they had omnibus editions or cut down edits.
And I think that's the only thing that lets down Genesis of the Daleks is it could be a little bit shorter. But it's still brilliant.
For me, it feels more like world building, though.
Yeah.
Because the Daleks are such an important part of Doctor Who's history.
Yeah.
That you feel like you kind of need to see...
You owe it to them.
Yeah, like to have all that stuff. And like maybe the stuff with Davros's experiments in the caves and all that could probably be cut.
There's a bit of padding, isn't there, that you could get rid of.
But then you lose all the stuff in between of like the Doctor and Sarah going through the vents and Harry getting attacked by the clam.
Yeah.
You know, that's fun. When we did the video 7 years ago, we did talk about Blink and Genesis of the Daleks.
Yeah.
For Blink, we said not enough Doctor.
Yeah.
And I think I said I didn't really buy the Sally Sparrow and whoever she gets off with in that story that they were going to be a couple in the long term.
Yeah.
And for Genesis, we both said not enough Daleks.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, that is another thing with Genesis of the Daleks.
But I suppose it's about their inception, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to not put Daleks in the title.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You
exactly.
have to do it because, you know, you're not going to call the story Davros because everyone's going to be like, who's Davros?
Do you know? And again, we had this conversation.
Right.
And I suggested it should be called the Khaleds.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than the Daleks.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That wouldn't have bumped a rating.
No.
People would have looked at Radio Times and gone, yeah. A Khaled? I don't think so. Yeah. No.
Unless they saw it in the mirror reflected and gone, wait a minute.
Hang on. He's very clever, that Terry Nation, isn't he? He must have seen a lineup of dictionaries in the mirror and gone, yes, Dalek.
I can't believe there's no one called Tarrant in the cast.
Go on then, what's your next one?
On the... Still sticking with Daleks.
Yeah.
The Daleks.
Yeah. I should have put the Daleks.
It is... It's a bit boring.
It is.
It's a bit boring. I know people... put it in high esteem, and for obvious reasons, because it's the first Doctor Who, the first Dalek story. It's the story that put Doctor Who on the map. You know, it saved Doctor Who from getting cancelled.
Yeah.
So
why? What did Doctor Who say in it? It's full of Arabs.
Full of Arabs, yeah. You know, but it is just 7 episodes, and it doesn't take 25 minutes to jump across a crevice.
As you know,
yeah. So it's just long, and especially once you've seen the film with Peter Cushing, which is so much better in terms of the pace of the whole thing. There's no chance, does it really?
Totally, I'm with you. I mean, I definitely would have had that on my list. I think.
Yeah, because whenever I do a watch through, you know, I do Unearthly Child episode 1, which is like, this is good. Then you've got the next 3 episodes. You're like, oh, don't worry, it's the Daleks next. And even then, I sort of get, at the start, I'm like, okay, this is dragging. And by the end, I'm just like, oh, give me the Edge of Destruction. And it's only 2 episodes.
It's also that the Daleks aren't fully formed in that.
Yeah.
And they speak oddly compared to what we think of a Dalek.
Precisely, yeah.
So, totally. I could have had that on my list. I'm going to stick with Black and Whites.
Yeah.
The Web of Fear.
Yeah. And I agree.
I think it was probably because when it came out with Enemy of the World, when they were discovered in 2013, everybody went, whoa, Enemy of the World, that's suddenly a great story. And then when The Web of Fear came out, it feels a bit like when people talk about Tomb of the Cybermen being discovered, and they talk about the soundtrack being really atmospheric, and then you match it with the visuals. And I still think the visuals of Tomb of the Cybermen are great.
I love Tomb of the Cybermen.
I think a lot of people put Tomb of the Cybermen in their overrated submissions on Twitter.
Interesting.
And say that like the Moonbase is kind of better, or if not, sort of on the same level.
Yeah. I love the Moonbase too.
I love
both of those stories.
Totally. But The Web of Fear felt like when it came out, it sort of had that muted...
Yeah.
It was
usurped by Enemy of the World, which everyone sort of thought, oh, this is a duff story. Mm. And then suddenly it was like, wow, this is a very clever and interesting story that no one really talked about.
No.
Because we all knew the general gist of The Web of Fear. Mm. Like, even if you hadn't seen it, you all sort of knew, okay, he's set in the underground and there's Yetis wandering around.
The iconography of it is more iconic than the story itself.
Yeah.
And the fact you had the introduction of the Brigadier in the story, but then, you know, it's not like it's a particularly great story for Colonel Lethbridge Stewart.
And again, back to the 6 episodes thing, could easily be down to a 4-parter.
It'd be
a nice tight 4-parter as a sort of Base Under Siege story.
Yeah.
It's not on my list, but kind of along the same lines, Fury from the Deep.
Ah, now, I have to say, the animation totally raised that in my estimations.
Because I listened to I watched the Loose Cannon reconstruction, and I thought, well, this seems all right. Shame we can't watch it. And then I watched the animation, and I was like, I mean, it's fine. But I think... the reason why I didn't put it on my list is because, well, I've not actually watched the story as it should be seen properly, so I can't make an actual judgment on that. So that was off the cards.
Yeah, grand.
But it was that whole thing, you know, that one is held in such high regard. And I guess until they ever find it, if they ever do, you know, we'll never know for sure.
Let's see if there's any discoveries later this year.
Yeah. Well, are you going to find any in New Zealand, Fury from the Deep?
I'm going to try my very best.
Yeah.
I'll go around to every broadcaster and say, can I have a look in your shed?
Yeah.
Have you got any cans? Oh, it's turned to gloop. Never mind.
Ah.
Well, the gloop looked pretty good. So I'd say Fury from the Deep is probably all right.
Oh, it's me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, now this is a... I wasn't really sure if I should put this on the list. And there's a reason why I put it on the list, but it's not a very good reason. Turn left.
Now, okay.
Everyone goes on about turn left and how wonderful it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. But the reason why I don't know why is because I can't really remember what it's about.
I haven't watched it in so many years.
Yeah,
so.
I think I always see people go, oh, Turn Left is like this incredible piece of TV. And I think I remember watching it and thinking, oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
But it's never been a story that's really stuck with me.
I do remember, I say this like it's some weighty thing that's happened in my life, but being quite affected as a kid by seeing the 10th Doctor drop the sonic being taken out of the hospital and thinking, whoa, shit. And, you know, all the stuff with Wilf saying it's happening again and people being rounded up into camps and it's very, you know, years and years and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it again.
I think this is the thing. That's what I thought. I was like, do I put this on the list? Because the only reason it's on the list is because I can't remember it at all.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think every time I watch it, I enjoy it. Mm. But it's just one of the... Sometimes you just have those stories that...
Yeah, it's good, but it's not all that.
Yeah, but they just don't like leave a lasting impression. Mm. It's weird.
I think I was probably more affected by thinking about it by the next time trailer than it actually happening in the episode.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because it's like, what is this about? Like, it was such a... It felt like such a diversion from what Series 4 was going for.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, there's almost like this sidestep episode where we're, you know, well, obviously it is, and we're going into a different timeline.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Titanic crashing into Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big mushroom cloud over London and all that. And you think, whoa, actually, do you know what? You know... I think that probably deserves a look.
I was
going to
say it needs a reevaluation that one.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Give us another one, Matt, because I've got quite a truncated list compared to you.
Well, the next one is Rosa.
Oh yeah,
because everyone really raves about it.
Yeah,
and I think it's good. But I don't think it's all that.
I think it's the immediacy of it in the moment. I think people are still carrying how they felt the night it went out. Because I remember watching it and turning to the person I was watching it with and going, do you know, I think they're going to show this in schools in the future. And now I'm kind of, however many years we are away from it, I'm like, I don't know if Crasco the space racist is something you should really need, you know. It does feel a bit skin deep when you add that character into the mix. Yeah. If it was just a pure historical, I think we'd probably talk about it quite differently.
I think we would too.
And
I think that's what lets it down, is that I remember that stuff's in it. And I think...
And I think, you know, I don't know the full picture of it, but Chris Chibnall having his name on the credits for it, I think muddies the water.
Yeah.
And you think... Was Crasco his...
Was that his contribution, addition? Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah.
But it would be really interesting to know, as with, you know, Russell and Moffat era stuff.
Yeah.
What
how much is...
Is your work.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I just... For me, I think Rosa just feels like a missed opportunity to do a pure historical. That could have been really quite something. Yeah, I don't know.
Because all the stuff that's most affecting and that I can remember is like Ryan getting slapped.
Yeah.
And then Ryan and Yaz hiding behind the motel.
Yeah.
And they have like a conversation in a bar and somebody comes up and says, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
And that sort of, that is, and obviously the last scene and the kind of race to the bus.
Yeah. See, and that annoys me as well, that bit, because I don't know, I feel like the Doctor would say something, you know. When you think that in the previous series, the 10th Doctor punches a racist in the face. I mean, obviously, I know the Doctor's now a woman and she's in a world where, or in a period of time where she would have got a slap around the face as well. So, I don't know.
Also,
I think something should have been said. I don't know. I feel a bit...
I think, though, you can't take that moment, because that moment still in that universe still happens as it is, and they're just observers.
Yeah,
I don't think you can have the you know, the Doctor, but a white woman, a white person, sort of grandstanding in the place of Rosa Parks.
That's like her moment to do that.
So I guess it's you can't really insert. You can have an aside, and they do sort of talk to each other a bit. But are you saying you wanted more of?
I just wanted in that scene in the cafe, which I think is quite early on in the story. Just make a more of a remark to the person who's saying, you know, who's being a racist. Yeah. It just feels like she's quite passé about the whole thing. She's just like, oh, come on, let's go.
But I guess it almost makes it more dangerous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That she, like, I've got to be really careful what I say here.
Yeah.
Because they bring up Emmett Till a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
And we're getting into kind of real world conversations here. But yeah. I suppose they are as passive as they can be in the real world scenario that they're in.
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying.
It's difficult. It's a difficult one to... Mm. How do you balance that? I guess you have that problem with any historical story, really. Where do you draw that line?
But then I guess it's like, well, do you even tell that story anyway? I mean, obviously it's important to tell that story, but yeah. in the context of Doctor Who, if you're just going to have Space Nazi in there anyway.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody mentioning the Witchfinders on Twitter and sort of saying, you know, it's one of the biggest genocides in sort of history.
Yeah.
And yet it's treated quite frivolously in the context of the programme. So it's like we applaud the effort, but the execution, maybe we can have a... Maybe it's there to have a conversation about.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, you know, the story itself isn't doing the chatting, and it's more the chatting that we have between ourselves, like even now, that's the important part of it. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway. Rosa, that's up there.
I think we should get Chris Chibnall on this podcast, really.
Yeah. I mean, Gallifrey won. Why,
why wouldn't, you know, this why is such a on? Welcoming space for Chris Chibnall, this podcast. Why wouldn't he come on? I mean, this side of the sofa is happy to have him here.
Yeah, well, you better sit on that side because you won't be. it would be lovely to have him. I'd love to talk to him.
It would be fascinating, wouldn't it? I mean, I just want to ask, you know, China. What's the crack?
Are you Donald Trump?
China. And my last one is, I mentioned it earlier, the other, I think, probably the weakest of the RTD finales until we get to series 14, who knows? Army of Ghosts and Doomsday.
It
seems overinflated because of the I love you at the end. And but then it doesn't quite live up to the promise of this is the story of how I died. Because that was such a like, whoa, what is going to happen in the story then when it went out? And then it's like, well, you're dead on the official register in our universe. Yeah. Oh, okay. And that's sort of it.
Yeah.
And then Daleks versus Cybermen is impressive for maybe the first couple of CGI shots.
Yeah.
And then they have that barb across the screen, back and forth, trading barbs.
Why was that going... It. Why was that such a big thing on TikTok?
What?
Did I tell you about this?
No, go on. Oh, I don't know what a TokTik is.
A TokTik. So Boba at the Ogscast, who is a big fan of TikTok, she sent me this thing saying this Doctor Who thing is going crazy on
TikTok. You did send me
TikTok.
This, yeah.
And it was the Dalek Cyberman exchange, and it was just people lip syncing to it.
The same, just the dialogue?
Just the dialogue. Wow. And I was like, what? And there was loads, hundreds of them, of all these random people. And she was like, oh, the gays love this. And I was like, okay, I don't understand.
I mean,
TikTok.
It's probably sassy. The sassiest.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the moments in Who that I can think of.
But I was still like, what? Mm. I mean, it's like, this is old. It's like 20 years old, this thing. And it's...
Shit.
Wow.
Well, okay. I mean,
fair enough. Who knew?
If only I'd known that TikTok had taken to Army of Ghosts and Doomsday this much, I probably wouldn't have put it in my list. But there we go.
It's clearly not that overrated because...
And I Torchwood feels like a thing that's being built up to all that season.
Yeah.
And then when you're like, okay, well, it's a secret organisation, but then it sort of takes a back seat naturally to Daleks versus Cybermen.
Yeah.
And then it's the Doctor and Rose, and then it's the Void, and then it's the Separation, and then there's that... You know, and I would put Bad Wolf Bay up as one of the best scenes in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, sort of maybe top 20, maybe not top 10, but it's up, it's sort of up there. But that's only because there's so much good Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And that is a good moment, and it's a great scene.
I still get choked up when I watch it. Watched it on my last watch through, I was like, oh my God, I didn't think that it would tug at my heartstrings, but it really is very good.
But there are the three people responsible for that.
Yeah.
Murray Gold.
Yeah.
Russell T. Davis, yeah, obviously, and Billy Piper.
Yeah.
Are the... David Tennant's great in that as well.
Yeah.
But he's sort of taking a backseat, yeah, to everything that's sort of happening in front of him. Almost that distance of, you know, I'm a ghost here.
Yeah.
And the drama's unfolding on the bay. And, yeah, and those three people are responsible for that kind of,
yeah,
you know, that emotion in that scene. Oh, so good.
It's so good. Yeah. Interesting. I can see what you mean, though.
Yeah.
I can see what you mean. Well, I've got two left.
Go on.
They're all classic series stories.
Ah.
Because I didn't want it to be too new.
No.
Because I don't want to get a reputation, you know.
Too late.
The first one is, quite surprisingly for some, The Mind Robber.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising, but it is something that I see a lot of people kind of, it's all right.
People really love it, and I think it's really good, but I've never been really gushing over it. You know, I think it's doing something different and something clever, and I think episode one is really good. And then, again, it's five episodes, could have been a bit shorter, I think. I don't know, I just don't... To me, it just feels like a lot of running around after episode one. And you're just meeting different fictional characters. You know, so what?
What's the Hulk Hogan lookalike?
The Sikakis!
Yeah, when it gets to that point, you're like, yeah, come on. That's the point where, to me, it starts to waver a little bit.
Yeah, it's great. But I've never held it in such high regard. Mm. Every time I go to watch it, I think, this is a really good story. And then I watch it and I think, it's all right.
The first episode is.
The first episode is brilliant.
But but like with the Daleks, it's like a lot of these stories rely on the weight of their first part.
Yeah.
And then when you actually get into it, sure, I mean, there are moments where still, with Hamish, what's his face, replacing Fraser.
That is ingenious.
Really clever. Yeah. And the Master, I think, is a really cool character in that story. Yeah. But yeah, beyond that, not sure that there's an awful lot more to comment on.
No.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Ambassadors of Death.
And it's on the list, Matthew.
I know it's on the list.
At some point.
Yeah.
I think that might be one of the couple we do in the new setup.
Yeah.
It's only really got going for it, in my opinion, that Van Leiden. What is the capital of Australia?
Yeah. See, this is the thing, because Annie loves this story, and that was what she, when I said I'm going to put it on the list, that's what she said to me. I was like, that's a brilliant moment. It's a superb cliffhanger. But it's seven fucking episodes of, oh, I'm going to run off over here, get captured. Oh, I'm going to escape. Oh, get captured and get put back in prison. And I don't know.
And is there a character called Dog Tanyan in there, and they're really French?
Dog Tanyan.
Something like that.
There is something like that.
But then you've got some good action sequences of the unit.
That's great, yeah.
And Nicholas Courtney firing a gun and going,
yeah.
But nobody takes the piss out of Nicholas Courtney doing that. Everybody's, taking the piss out of Matthew Waterhouse going like that.
Yeah.
But no one talks about Nicholas Courtney wincing at firing a gun when he's supposed to be the Brigadier.
Yeah,
okay, I can see why that would be on your list. Yeah, there's not really much there beyond that cliffhanger.
I mean, I read the Target novelisation and I loved it. And I thought, this is great. But when you put it into 7 weeks of Doctor Who on telly, it's just like, ooh, this is going on too long. Four episodes would have been a great four-parter.
What we've taken away from this, I think, is that any Doctor Who episode that's six parts long, what Doctor Who episode justifies being six parts long?
Again, we were talking about this last night as well. I mean, we sort of said,
you should have a podcast with Annie.
Well,
really?
This was with Johnny as well. It was the three of us having like a nerd out about Doctor Who.
Don't worry, there is a podcast coming with just Matt and Annie.
That is true. Star Trek, if you're interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Sea Devils. That's a good six-parter. The Green Death is a great six-parter.
Yeah. How long is
Seeds of Doom? But even then, Seeds of Doom.
But I don't think it's overrated. Because I don't see enough people talking about Seeds of Doom.
That's a great story, Seeds of Doom.
Terror of the Zygons.
That's four episodes.
That's four. Oh, okay. That feels like 6 months. The Demons.
I mean, that's five. I think that could be an episode shorter.
Yeah, that could be an episode shorter, but it's not overrated.
It's not overrated. It's really good.
The characters in it are so good that it can kind of carry itself over the line.
Yeah.
And then you've got what's happening in the village, and then there's trying to get out, and the force field, and then there's Zal finally turning up, and the master, and oh, well, there's something to ponder on. Let's have a quick talk about the episodes that are on the 50 years poll.
Because I nearly looked at that.
That we discussed.
But I'm glad that I didn't, because obviously we did that last time.
So Day of the Doctor was the top of the poll, which we've discussed. Mm-hmm. And I've got a great quote from you here. By the time we get to the 60th, and you're like, what's that, in 10 years' time? Tom will be dead, probably.
Wow. Oh, no, Tom.
Sylvan Colin will be way too old to do anything.
And they just come back.
How great is that? but I think that still holds up as an overrated story, because a lot of people, you know, gush about it.
Did I not put that on my list?
I don't think you said it.
Oh, well, it was supposed to be.
Well, and watch the Day of the Doctor review that we did live at Pandorica.
Yeah, because we just ripped the shit out of it.
Pretty much.
We really did. But everyone in the audience were really up for it, because they were like jeering and jiving. And, They were.
Yeah. Blink came up.
Yeah.
Not enough Doctor. Genesis, not enough Daleks. Caves of Androzani. And you said...
Deadly Assassin, not enough ass.
You said...
Well, they're only all men anyway, so...
The Caves of Androzani, that bloody bat creature.
Yeah. I mean... Caves of Androzani is still brilliant. I can overlook that awful armadillo monster.
But isn't it interesting that, like... You know, and this goes to show how opinions change and differ. That, you know, we have definitely warmed up to stories.
Yeah.
Maybe we've cooled off on a couple as well.
Yeah, I think so.
But it goes to show that opinions can change on stories. And if that's anything to take away from this, you know, don't take what we're saying now as gospel, because in 3 years' time, when we come around to do Caves of Androzani or whatever, we may have more grievances because we would have actually watched it. And a lot of the time we're going off of our memories of it.
Yeah.
You know? City of Death. Silliness goes too far, we said.
Wow, really? I thought about City of Death and I was like, no, that's such a good story.
It is.
Like, when I watched it last time, it's just so good.
Talons of Weng Chiang.
Oh no, that's fabulous.
There's some slight racism, you said. slash that bloody rat.
You know what? So we were watching The Crusade the other day, and no one bats an eyelid at all the people blacked up in The Crusade.
That's because it's black and white, though. It's harder to tell. Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? And it's like, poke fun at that.
Yeah.
Why does The Crusade get a pass? And
Marvik Chen gets more of a pass than Marvik Chen should. But who plays Marvik Chen? What's the name of the actor? Kevin Stoney.
Yeah, I was going to say Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Stoned. But he's so good.
He's getting a mention, isn't he, in the new series.
Marvik Chen, yes. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And then people got funny about that. Yeah. Oh, you should bring him up.
Oh,
he's a fucking fictional character.
Come on, he's
within the confines of the programme, he is, I guess, of Asian descent, you know.
Well, of some space...
I think isn't he human, or is he not?
Oh, is he?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Good podcast.
God's truth, when we come round to doing bloody Daleks Master Plan. I mean, that is... We'll probably have to split that episode into fucking 12. The Empty Child, The Doctor Dances. I said Captain Jack. More so probably now.
More so probably now, yeah.
And you said the whole sex thing.
The sex thing?
Well, the whole, like, illusion
rules. Yeah.
I'm trying to resonate concrete.
Yeah.
You know. Let's dance. The Pyramids of Mars. Everything on Mars.
Yeah.
That's coming up next.
Yeah.
Human Nature, Family of Blood. Yeah, No. This was us going through the list of the top 15
or something.
Oh, fine, fair enough.
I was like, are we saying that this is overrated?
And we said, because we were trying to find faults in all of these. So
these
are only the faults we could draw out of these
episodes.
Oh, fair
enough, yeah.
Ten tripping over himself in the family ship at the end, which we, for some reason, had a problem with. But when I think about it now, I think, well, that's a very typically Doctorish thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the Seventh Doctor doing that, you'd go, genius.
Yeah,
you know, like kind of a Greatest Show in the Galaxy type thing. But I think we were just on a bit of a Tennant-hating bandwagon at that point.
Yeah,
so
probably.
It goes to show opinions can change.
Yeah.
Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. We said, dated by Trudy and Susanna, Weakest Link and Big Brother.
Wow.
When we talked about it, it's kind of the least important part of the entire thing.
It really is, yeah.
So, you know. Terror of the Zygons, I said the Scarrison.
Right.
And also how it ends up just eventually relocating to London.
Yeah.
It kind of gets bored of the Scottish thing. And it's just like, well, let's go where the action is. And finally, Dalek. We said Rose lecturing the Doctor, which I don't think is probably a fair thing to say now.
No, I don't think that's fair.
And Adam.
I mean, he's such a... I forget he was even in Doctor Who, so...
I mean, given the accusations, it's best to now.
Yeah, he's another one, isn't he? Damn. Series 1, Doctor Who, what was going on there?
Okay.
Casting all the wrong people.
Let's have a look at... what people submitted here.
Okay.
I'm going to go through the list. I can immediately see Journey's End has popped up.
Right.
Blink.
Yeah.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Yeah.
Christopher Clarke says, it's a good story, but it's by no means the masterpiece that people make it out to be. I feel it's too long. I mean, as we've said, sort of six parts, maybe not where Doctor Who's strength lies.
Yeah.
Ryan says, sorry about this, Matt. Pyramids of Mars.
Yeah.
Amazing build-up to a lacklustre final episode.
Right.
Leighton says, Earthshock. That is so wrong. Or The Caves of Androzani.
Okay.
I will defend Earthshock, because Earthshock comes up a lot in this list. I think because people say it doesn't feel like a Cyberman story. But I think it feels like the most Cyberman story ever.
Right.
It's that kind of, we're waiting, we're skulking.
Yeah, it's
because really
the
Daleks can't really do that.
No.
Unless they've got a ship hidden on the dark side of the moon or whatever.
Yeah.
The Daleks can't really skulk and hide. But the Cybermen... can be a bit more sleuthy and a bit more, you know. The 11th Hour.
So good at the shop.
It's literally another version of The Girl in the Fireplace, according to Kieran. Power of the Daleks. It's probably one of my most watched stories. I desperately want to like it, but I don't get what people like about it outside of Whittaker's portrayal of the Daleks. I find it incredibly dull. It is a long one.
It is a long one. That's another one that probably could have been a bit shorter. I love Power of the Daleks. It's probably my favourite.
Quinton Review says, Logopolis is what people who don't watch Doctor Who think Doctor Who is like.
Interesting.
It's outrageously technical in a not very fun way. The concept makes no sense and the plot flows at a horrible pace. If it wasn't for the cinematic regeneration, nobody would think highly of it.
Wow.
Would be another sludgy, bid-meedy script.
Yeah. So, I mean, we loved it when we reviewed it.
We
recently did.
We
were very complimentary.
But I get the technobabble.
I get that.
It feels embedded in sort of like, I feel like I need to have done like kind of homework.
Yeah.
To kind of get into this. Cyberman Elf says, raises shield. Tomb of the Cybermen. I just didn't really get it. Mind you, I haven't seen it since I was about 9.
Mm.
I just distinctly remember being underwhelmed and couldn't see why it was considered one of the greats, especially when things like The Invasion are right there.
Yeah.
Maybe The Invasion could be considered an overrated story.
I mean, it's certainly longer than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's 8 episodes. That is long.
Somebody else who is obscenely wrong, Tharys. Earthshock. Let's see what Tharys has to say.
He just bought us Earthshock Cyberman, Ed.
Don't get me wrong. It's good. It's a good story. I'm gonna take you by your word here. But take out the death of Adric, and it would not be as highly regarded as it is. I don't think that's true.
No, I think
that's an added bonus.
Yeah.
That you've got rid of Matthew Waterhouse. the Cybermen could basically be swapped for any villain.
No.
Not really. It's because you've got the iconography of busting out of the silos. And also, it just feels so intrinsically linked to the Cybermen, that story. That shock reveal and having not been in the series
for
so
long.
It feels like Earthshock. And this might just be me considering it, because I think it's probably my favourite Doctor Who story ever.
Really? Wow.
I think so. I mean, Caves of Androzani, Earthshock and Genesis.
Yeah.
Sorry. Curse of Peladon. Caves of Androzani, we can probably talk about it some other time.
Yeah.
Curse of Peladon.
You say, not Peter Davison.
No. Earthshock, Genesis, and Curse of Peladon are on the same line to me as like peak Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because it exists in this bubble in my head, but it's like Earthshock feels like a moment in time in the same way Genesis does.
Yeah.
It defines that era.
Yeah.
In the much same way I feel like Genesis defines Tom. Earthshock sort of defines the 80s as like the best 80s story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because so many stories after that try to be Earthshock and never quite get it right.
Totally.
Like Resurrection of the Daleks is trying to be like Earthshock, but doesn't quite get it. Mm. Yeah, so I agree with what you're saying there.
Tharys goes on to say, wrongly, it drags in the middle, and honestly, I find Attack more fun. Attack is more fun.
Attack is fun.
Hang on a minute. No, it's not. It's far more depressing, because everybody dies at the end.
Yeah.
And at least a couple of people get away in Earthshock. Yeah.
The person you want to die dies in Earthshock.
Soggy Chicken says Earthshock as well.
Wow.
Jack D. Evans, listen.
Destroy them, destroy them at once.
Bang.
I mean, that cliffhanger alone is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, David Banks just steals the show.
What a legend.
Yeah.
What a lovely bloke as well. Listen seems to get quite a lot of hype over the years as one of those really creepy Moffat stories.
Oh, I agree.
But it's not very scary and pretty boring. Great lines from Capaldi as usual, but to me, the episode is just mediocre. Midnight is a mediocre midnight with no threat.
Yes, I
find
agree.
It very forgettable.
I agree.
The iconography of the thing underneath the bedsheet.
Yeah.
But then...
That's sort of gone from my mind. I remember when it aired, people were raving about it. And I think I was. I was like, what?
And the image of the Doctor meditating on top of the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
Which to me was like, that's the 12th Doctor.
Yeah. And all the candles in the TARDIS. That looked great.
That looked great.
They should have kept that.
But it's like that Moffat thing where you want something tangible enough to understand what the threat is, but he strings you along enough to sort of make you think we're going to find out what it is.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like that sort of Twice Upon Time.
Yeah.
It's not an evil plan.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, but you were so close. Yeah. You were so close.
Yeah.
And the image of that thing under the bed sheets is so creepy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really go the full...
So I think that's it. It's like sometimes he tries to be clever for the sake of being clever and it doesn't work. You know, sometimes you want...
That's that era in that shelf.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you want the monster under the bed to actually be a monster under the bed. And then, of course, let's not even get into the whole Clara thing under the Doctor's bed, grabbing his ankle and all that wank.
That is pure wank.
That is pure wank.
The robots of death, says Matthew Purchase.
Yes.
Don't say what you were going to say, because I had it in my head as well. Never understood
were
why...
Were you going to say...
Yeah. Robots of Death. Never understood why it's loved so much. Yes, the robot designs are amazing, but that's all. I much prefer the Face of Evil.
No.
I don't prefer the Face of Evil to that story.
Not at all. The Face of Evil is great, but I think...
I love how this has been like, look, it's entirely subjective, but this is us saying you're fucking wrong. You're fucking wrong. Bradley Edward Charles... Heaven sent. It's a boring, lackluster story with no true weight. Putting aside Rachel Talalay's...
Talalay, I think.
Stellar direction, Murray Gold's beautiful score and Peter Capaldi's terrific performance. It's a script that leaves a lot to be desired and is downright unsuitable for children.
Interesting, really? Hmm. I wouldn't say it was unsuitable for children. What's unsuitable
compared
for children?
To most Doctor Who stories that are kind of like, you know... I mean, Mary Whitehouse wouldn't have complained about that.
Don't know. The Doctor does get killed a bazillion times in brutal ways.
But the Doctor, you know, if we're to do the whole timeless children thing...
Yeah, I mean, the thing...
They've died millions of times.
Yeah, and I guess really, you know, it's a cartoon death, isn't it? Because you know that he dies, but he gets back up again.
Exactly.
You know? It's like Coyote and...
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Totally, you know? Totally.
So, yeah.
Lots of Genesis of the Daleks. Lots of Genesis of the Daleks. Wow, yeah. Silver Nemesis, as I think Remembrance of the Daleks was stronger. That's, yeah.
I mean, I don't think Silver Nemesis is
no
rated.
It isn't, but
generally.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I know you like it.
I would say it borders underrated. Not quite, because it's sort of daft enough for me to think I can understand why people would think this is just rubbish.
Yeah.
But I think there are moments in it.
It's like Saturday morning comic strip Doctor Who. Like
exactly.
Newspaper comic Doctor Who.
The Haunting of Villa Diodati and Village of the Angels. They're both good, but I find them so flat. I personally think there are better Jodie episodes out there.
Interesting.
You find me a better episode than those two.
I know, I was thinking that.
Of Jodie's era. I mean, especially now that I'm sort of reconsidering my position on Rosa. after our deep theological conversation on that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Power of the Doctor goes without saying, because we both thought that was, because people were raving about that.
Yeah, but
they?
that's recency bias.
Yeah.
I get, like,
give it a few years, you know.
I mean, but we also said that in that review of overrated episodes about Day of the Doctor. But, and I sort of feel like a lot of people are still,
I don't know. I mean, I think after we did Pandorica, maybe it was just because of the type of Doctor Who fans that were
in the room.
Yeah, you know, but they did feel like a,
the kind of Doctor Who fans that like Day of the Doctor don't go out much, is what Matt's saying.
I'm just saying that they may be younger.
Yeah.
A younger fan.
But it is. It feels like more of an anniversary for the new series,
exactly,
than it does for the whole of the show.
Yeah. So I think for us old ones,
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the 60th.
Yeah.
If it's another go around of doing a new series celebration.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they won't be celebrating the last 5 years. They'll be forgetting that happened.
Thank you for watching the review of Death. We hope you've had fun. This was the overrated episodes episode. Stick around to enjoy more daft fun from the two of us. That's me trying to sign off before you drag the Jodie Whittaker era.
Oh, okay.
Underwater anymore.
We're doing Pyramids of Mars next.
Pyramids of Mars is next.
Not now.
Not like right now.
Like previously announced. Because I realised that the episode literally comes out on my birthday.
Exactly. So and it's his favourite story. And as we are wont to do, we talk about our favourite stories on our birthday. Mm. So when it comes to mine later in the year, we'll do either, I guess, Earthshock or Genesis.
Yeah. Ooh, exciting.
It's exciting. But we've got Pyramids of Mars to look forward to, which is even more exciting.
Yeah.
I've got to get you a birthday present before I go then, in that case. I am still
waiting for your Christmas present to ship. I had an email about it saying 28th of February, it should be shipping.
Well, as we've learned from this story, Matthew is easily scammed on the internet by things that will never turn up.
It is from a reputable business.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they message you on Instagram?
No.
With a link saying, we want you to be our brand ambassador.
No.
Come and look at my OnlyFans. thanks very much for watching, everybody.
I've got you an YouTuber's used panties. Well done.
I'm very grateful for that, Matthew.
You can huff them on your flight to New Zealand.
I think we end it there. Thanks for watching, everybody. Support the podcast with a like and a share, and you can go and support the Patreon as well.
You probably won't after this. You'll probably be thinking, you just lambasted all of my favourite stories, you bastards.
Well, goodbye. Then you've got no sense of humour, so we don't want you as a Patreon. Bugger off. See you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.